Thomas saw the risen Christ and said, "My Lord and my God." That's the message I have for you today, ladies and gentlemen, as we continue this verse-by-verse Bible study in the Gospel of John. We are in John chapter 20, so let's go to verse 1. "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth, and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him." So, here we're at the tomb, ladies and gentlemen. This is good news. This is the first day of the week, and Mary Magdalene, she was actually there with other women also, but here it just mentions Mary Magdalene, and she sees the stone taken away, but she realizes the body is not there. So she takes off, she runs and tells the others. It says, "She runs and cometh to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved," that's John, and says, "Look, they took the Lord away. We don't know where he is," okay? So what do we learn here? Mary Magdalene, who is she, by the way? Who is this lady? Who on earth is she? Well, Mary Magdalene, if you remember, she is the one person of many whom Jesus delivered of demons. In her case, it was seven demons. Look at this, Mark 16 and 9. "Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils," or demons. So isn't it awesome, folks, that the very first person that the Lord Jesus Christ appears to when he's risen from the dead was to a woman who was formerly a demon possessed. He didn't appear to a Jewish high priest or a chief priest or a leader of any synagogue. He didn't even appear to one of his own disciples first, but to a formerly demon-possessed woman. That's exactly how the Lord works, folks. God is not impressed with titles or degrees on your wall, certificates, and so on and so forth. He's looking for people who love him. And this woman loved the Lord. The Bible, you know, talks about those who forgiven much, love much. And that was the case here with Mary Magdalene. So, you know, the tomb is empty, and Mary Magdalene, as I said, she went to tell others. She told Peter, told John. Now, the rock was removed, and if you go to other accounts like Matthew in chapter 28, you will see that the stone was taken away. It was removed by an angel, okay? It was like an earthquake took place. So this took place before Mary Magdalene and the others arrived at the tomb. In fact, there were people who were guarding the tomb. If you remember, there was an assignment of guards requested to Pilate, and he gave them consent and gave them men to go there to guard the tomb because they believed Jesus Christ was a deceiver. And they said, you know, this is what he said, that he would rise again the third day and so forth. So they knew the word of God. They heard it. So they wanted to put a guard there just in case the disciples would come by and steal the body and say that he rose from the dead. So, it's very interesting. When the angel appeared, I said, you know, the people who were there, the watchers, they became as dead men. It was shaking. And long story short, they went back to the chief priests and told them what happened. And the chief priest, now think about this, the Jewish chief priest, these are the people that had the scriptures, they had the scrolls, but they missed it. They did not believe that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. So now they bribed the guards, the ones that were sent to the tomb to guard it, and said, look, just say that you guys fell asleep. And the disciples came and stole the body away. And they paid them a large sum of money. Big bucks, mucho dinero is what took place here, folks. Things never seem to change. So that's what took place there. Can you imagine as the guards were paid off by the religious Jewish chief priest and say, look, say this happened, we'll take care of the rest. So it's amazing, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get back to John chapter 20, verse 3. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. So Peter and John, they got word that the tomb was empty, and they ran. I mean, they ran fast, and obviously John was the quicker one, and he got to the tomb first. He took a look, you know, he peered inside. When Peter eventually got there, Peter didn't stop. He went right inside the tomb itself, and they saw the clothes, you know, that Christ was buried in, and folded up nicely, okay, including the headpiece was in a place by itself. Now, if you're going to steal a body or remove a body to another place to try to hide it from others from seeing it, you're not going to remove the clothes and fold them up neatly and just place them down and put this here and put that there. No. You see, folks, this is the way God works. Christ rose from the dead, just like he said would happen many, many times over. In fact, let me give you a few passages from the scripture where he talks about him rising again. If you take a look at Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, it says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Matthew 17, 22 and 23. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry. Luke 9:22. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be slain and be raised the third day. Wow. So another one, John chapter 2, verses 18 to 21. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. So he spoke those words after he had gone into the temple. He made a scourge or a whip, and he went through the temple. He was turning everything upside down. And he said, you know, my father's house, don't make it a house of merchandise. It's a house of prayer. So basically they said, you know, what gives you the right to do this? So he said, look, destroy this temple. He was talking about his body. You see that? And in 3 days, I'm going to raise it up again. So here you have the Lord speaking how he would be raised from the dead. So what we're dealing with here in this chapter is the actual resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Let's go back, John 20, verse 8. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. So John himself, eventually he went inside. It says he saw and believed. So obviously he believed that he rose from the dead. But it says here, for they knew not yet the scripture. Now I just read you several passages of where the Lord spoke to them. So listen to this. They heard the word of God, but they didn't understand it. They didn't comprehend it at that point in time. So, you know, as the Spirit of God starts putting everything together, he brings the understanding, and that's what took place right there. So, it tells us here, then the disciples went away again unto their own home. So they left. Don't miss this. They left. Let's go to verse 11. But Mary stood without or outside at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. So here's Mary, who truly loved the Lord, and she stayed behind. Look, the other guys went home. You see, Peter and John, they went back home, but Mary stayed. So now she sees these two angels. They were probably there the whole time, but now they manifested at this point in time. If you notice, one was at the head, one was at the feet. I remember reading this years ago, and I immediately thought about the Ark of the Covenant, you know, the covering, the mercy seat. You have the two cherubim there on the side, and I mean, on each side, and they're looking, right, one on one end, one on the other, and that's just how it was here. Very interesting that was the way it was. And here's Mary. She says, now, you know, they're asking her, why are you weeping? And she said, because they've taken away the Lord. They've taken away my Lord. I don't know where they've laid him. So, you know, it's possible that Mary Magdalene at this point, even though it's recorded that they were in fact angels, you know, sometimes I think in fact one of the other accounts, they said they saw men. That's very often, like if you remember in the Old Testament, when Abraham, you know, the Lord appeared to Abraham, you know, he saw men. And you know, so sometimes they'll call them angels, sometimes they'll say men because they look like men. So we don't really understand because she said, you know, because they've taken away my Lord. It's possible at that point she wasn't sure who they were, whether they were angels or not. Verse 14, and when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. So now she turns around, she sees somebody standing there, she thinks it's the gardener. So she says, look, you know, just show me where the body is. I'll take care of it. I'll take the body away. So it's very, very interesting. Verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. So here she sees now, you know, probably there was something in the tone of the Lord's voice, in the way he spoke her name, that Mary recognized it immediately. She heard that voice, and she knew immediately that it was Jesus. It's beautiful when you think about it. So here he says, touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father. You know, I used to think, well, I wonder why he said that. Folks, all this is basically the Lord had business to do, and Mary probably didn't want to let him go. You'll find later in the chapter, as Thomas, who was doubting, the Lord allowed him, he invited him to come examine his body. There's not some secret formula here that he said, you know, don't touch me. It's just that the Lord knew that he was going to be on the earth for a while before he would ascend back into heaven. I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. This is another favorite of the Watchtower Society, the Jehovah's Witnesses. They like to use this. I've confronted this. I've been confronted with this, you know, out on the streets and stuff, ladies and gentlemen. Don't let it get to you. We have proven the deity of Jesus Christ throughout the Gospel of John. So, you know, they'll say, look, he's ascending to his father, and he says, "Into my God and your God." And they say, well now, if he's ascending to his God, how could he be God? So, as I said, folks, one of the reasons that I did the Gospel of John is to prove the deity of Jesus Christ and deal with stuff like this, because a lot of times, folks, people don't dig into the Word for themselves, and they don't know how to answer stuff like this. In fact, later in the chapter, you're going to see when Thomas goes to the Lord and actually calls him my Lord and my God. So, let's go to verse 18. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, "Peace be unto you." And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. I'd be glad too. Can you imagine this? That the risen Christ appeared to his disciples here. Look what it says here. They were assembled. Here they are gathered together for fear of the Jews. Folks, the persecution by the Jewish crowd, the religious Jewish crowd, against the true Christians was fierce, and that's why they were hiding. They were basically assembled for fear of the Jews. I mean, especially with everything that was going on, they saw Christ killed on the cross, and here the Lord comes in and shows them his hands and his side. Totally, totally awesome stuff, folks. This is the gospel, and don't miss the fact that the doors were shut. He entered the room without opening the doors. You see that? So, very, very powerful thing that takes place here. So, let me just show you now another cross-reference in the book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 36 to 46. This is after Christ rose from the dead. "And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat or food? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day." It's a lot of food here, folks, that you need to digest and meditate upon. So, you know, here's the Lord. He wanted to convince them. He wanted them to know that he was the same one that died on the cross. He's not a spirit like, you know, the JWs. They talk about Jesus rising, and then he came, and then he became Michael the Archangel again when he got into heaven. Don't fall. That's a false gospel. So if you're a Jehovah's Witness listening today, listen carefully, please, from the Watchtower Society. So here the Lord is showing him his body. He's showing his hands and his feet. The holes in his hands, the holes in his feet. He wanted them to see that. And of course, the gash in the side from the spear. So think about it. If he's showing his hands and his feet. Now, the Watchtower Society people, they teach that Christ was killed on a torture stake. That's what they do, with his hands basically tied together. So here, we see that the Lord was showing his hands. There were holes in the hands. Okay? He didn't die on a torturous day, folks. So all these little things you need to know. And also makes it clear here that the Lord referred to the scriptures. And he said, these are the words I spake to you while I was yet with you. This is things he spoke to them before he was killed, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets in the Psalms concerning me. Folks, it's all about Christ. The scriptures flow perfectly together, the Old Testament into the New. It's all about Jesus Christ. Listen, if you're Jewish out there today, the Christ that I preach today is the Christ that you need if you want salvation. There's no other way. No special plan, no postponement. You either come into Christ, Jesus, or you do not come in at all. So the scriptures that you have as a Jewish person, I should say, are the same scriptures that I read myself. Oh, yes. So you must understand this, folks. There's only one way. This gospel of Jesus Christ, it's all about Christ. Hallelujah. So let's go to verse 21, John chapter 20. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. This is just talking about the gospel. The Roman Catholic Church grabs this and they believe they have the power. They're Roman Catholic priests. They have the power and them alone to forgive sins. Oh, yes, they're priests. They're popes. Don't buy that, folks. It's all about the gospel, preaching the gospel. I used to go to confession on Saturdays as a young man, going into a confessional booth, confessing my sins to a Roman Catholic priest. I used to have a little saying. It'd say, each time you go in there, bless me, Father, for I've sinned. It's been 7 weeks since my last confession, and so on and so forth. Then you start reciting your sins, okay? Meanwhile, I'm on my way to hell. I never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ in the Catholic Church. Not once. Why? Because they don't have the gospel to give to people. And it's amazing that people hold back from telling people that they preach a counterfeit gospel. I speak as a former Roman Catholic. You believe the gospel. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. Christ paid it all, folks. Look at this beautiful resurrection. He ascends back into heaven. And you're gonna pull back the Lord Jesus Christ on a Roman Catholic altar and put him in a little wafer and say that's him? Folks, it's deception. It is deception. Oh, yes, it is. So that's something you need to know there. Let's go to verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. So basically Thomas is saying, look, I won't believe it until I see it. Now keep in mind that his fellow disciples saw Christ. They saw him. They experienced him. They saw him with their own eyes. So basically, Thomas is saying, I want to see the same thing. I want to put my hand into his side. I want to put my fingers into the holes. And this is how that saying, doubting Thomas, this is where that came from, right here. So let's go now to verse 26. It says, and after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. What did Thomas say? He said, my Lord and my God. Thomas knew deity when he saw it, folks. And once again, the JWs, you know, I've heard stories, they'll take this verse and say, oh, that was just Thomas. He was exclaiming a surprise, like, oh, my God. You know, folks, you know, what lengths people will go to twist the scriptures to their own destruction. This is the word of God. There is no other way except through Jesus Christ, folks. This is the gospel. Folks, there is no salvation outside of Christ because he came into this world. He was manifest in the flesh, and he paid the price on the cross for our sins. This is proof that there is no other way. Listen to me now. Every other way, every other religion, folks, it's false. I'm telling you right now. It is false. There is only one way. You are either in your sins or you're not. And if you believe in Christ and you've been born again of the Spirit, washed in his blood, then you know that you're right with God solely by what Christ did for us on the cross. So all of these people, all of these other religions, folks, listen to me. It's all in vain. It's all for naught because they refuse the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's awesome that the Lord heard Thomas. He heard that, even though he wasn't there when Thomas spoke those words. And again, he entered into this room. The doors were shut. He didn't open the door. Walk right in. You see that? So, totally awesome, folks, what the Lord can do. He heard those words, and 8 days later, he went right to Thomas and said, Thomas, come here. Here, Thomas, here are my hands. You know, here's my side. He invited him, look, do what you want to do. If you want to stick your hand in there, if you want to stick your finger in the hole. So that's powerful. And look what verse 29, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. So here's John, the one who wrote the Gospel of John. He says, look, the whole point of this book, these things are written. Why? So that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. That's number one, the Messiah. He says, these things are written so you might believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Here, listen to me, if you're Jewish out there today, you must believe. You want salvation. These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Messiah. Number two, that he's the Son of God. The Jewish people do not believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, nor do the people of Islam, the Muslims, and many other people. They don't believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. And number three, and that believing you might have life through his name. This eternal life, everlasting life, is found in Jesus Christ alone. Let me give you some cross references here as we get ready to close. 1 John 5, verses 9 to 13, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record or testimony that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Powerful. Here's another one. 1 John 5 and 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Last scripture, John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. See, you know, people, you know, go through life nonchalantly. I don't believe that stuff. I've heard it all before. I don't want to hear this stuff. Oh, so on and so forth. Here's your answer. If that's the case, the wrath of God is abiding upon them right now. So think about that. It's the mercy of God that they're not dead already. Think about it. That's mercy. So here's the opportunity that is there for them to come to Christ. Think about that. It's there for them to turn to him and receive forgiveness of sins, be washed in his blood, be born again of the Spirit. But the majority of people, listen to me, the majority of the people in the world do not want Jesus Christ. So they'll say, I'm spiritual, I'm religious, or I'm an atheist. Means nothing. You know. I was witness on the street one day, and you know, I went to hand a guy a Bible tract, and he said, I'm an atheist. I said to him, God does not believe in atheists. He had a surprised look on his face. So glory to God, folks. This is the word of God. So this ends it for chapter 20. There's one more chapter, John chapter 21, that will follow this. And I say to you once again, you have a blessed and great day.